From the Ron McKeefery Podcast Network, I'm Isaiah Castilleja, and this is Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0. In this episode, we have Assistant Athletic Director of Sports Performance at Fresno State University, Coach Ron McKeefery. We will discuss the new chapter in his career being back in collegiate athletics, where he draws inspiration from, and how to evolve as a strength and conditioning coach in the current climate of our profession. This episode is brought to you by Play. Play is a company that I've personally been working with from the start. Everyone at Play works to help strength coaches innovate and find solutions for our profession. From flooring, weight room equipment, outdoor spaces, and everything in between, Play will collaborate with you to find what you need. They work with everyone from professional teams to high schools, and they've always made me feel important and a part of the Play family. Refuse second best with Play. Find them at play.us and let them know Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0 sent you. All right, we are joined today by Coach Ron McKeefery. He's the Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Performance at Fresno State University. And prior to Fresno State University, Coach McKeefery worked as Vice President of Performance and Education for Play Flooring. He's also worked in the professional ranks with the Cincinnati Bengals, Kansas City Royals, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Berlin Thunder. He's also worked in the collegiate teams at Eastern Michigan, University of Tennessee, and University of South Florida. His certifications include the CSCS with distinction with the NSCA, the RSCC Emeritus with the NSCA, which means he's been a certified coach for more than 20 years. He's an MSCC, a Master Strength and Conditioning Coach of the CSCCA. Amongst many other certifications, he is a best-selling author, top-level podcaster, video series producer, and the list goes on and on. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate that, man. That's hard to hear. I apologize to everybody for all that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's worth saying, Coach, you definitely had a career that many of us, you know, strive to attain. And that kind of leads us into that next question. So you were the vice president of a major equipment company and a successful podcast video series. You had, you know, everything going for you. You know, at a relatively young age, because, you know, you said in your book, you were the head strength conditioning coach at what, 22, 23?
23, yeah.
Yeah, 23. So, you know, you've been doing it for a long time. You know, what's next on the horizon for Coach McKeefery, and why Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0?
Yeah, you know, I love every minute of my time with Play, and very fortunate for that opportunity, especially at the time that it was. I was living apart from my family, just because that's what you do sometimes when you're coaching. And you know, we had four adopted kids that were all going into high school, and we wanted to keep them as stable as we could. And I just wasn't willing to compromise being a great dad, you know, for this profession. And so, Play was right there. And, I just absolutely love that company. The issue the reason why I took this job was a couple of reasons. One is it's hard when coaching's in your DNA to not do it for 12 hours every day. You know, and so even though I was coaching coaches and I was traveling the world and I had teams, things along those lines, it wasn't something I was doing every single day. And where I felt like I was, you know, where I've shifted in my career from the passion of teaching strength and conditioning has now become more of me having a passion to really teach coaches how to create kind of multiple streams of income like I've done in my career. Because, you know, by having, you know, some money coming in from books or speaking or courses or, you know, a number of other things, I've been able to stay a coach for that long to have a career like what you rattled off earlier. So, I knew that this was going to give me an opportunity to be able to do that, to kind of be back in the trenches, per se. I mean, I hated it when people would say I wasn't coaching, because I was still coaching quite a bit. During that time, but to have the perception, just I guess the acceptance of being in the trenches, doing it, but then also being able to do some of these other things. I wanted to be an example, you know, and I wanted to help paint a picture, because I think coaches are some of the most talented people on the planet. And it's a shame that there's so many that leave the profession because they're just not able to make it.
Exactly. And that's, you know, and that was another question I was going to ask you is, you know, we're coming up on the 5th anniversary of your book, CEO Strength Coach, here in August. And, you know, you documented how you built your program, you know, how to make a name for yourself, how to have those multiple, you know, streams of income, also your path there, and how to run a program. What's one piece of advice from that book or your experience over the last 5 years you think is most relevant to strength and conditioning coaches in today's climate?
That's a great question. I think for the book, I mean, for those that haven't read it yet, I mean, the premise of the book is to be a success. In my opinion, you have to be a great technician. You know, you have to know the craft of being a strength and conditioning coach. You have to be a great manager. You have to be able to manage time, people, and resources. And you have to be entrepreneurial and be forward thinking and constantly sharpening the sword, you know. And you have to put equal time into that. And the problem is that we go to school for the technical part. That's what we love. That's kind of our passion. But, you know, if we don't develop ourselves in those other areas, you know, then I think, you know, we're leaving a lot on the table, you know, and you know, to me, I think the biggest lesson is to try to draw upon inspiration from other professions to make our profession better. And something I found myself saying quite a bit in the last couple of years is, you know, we're in the first 100 years of this profession as we know it. You know, of course there was people doing physical training and stuff throughout time, but in terms of, you know, hiring strength coaches and being a legitimate kind of profession, we're in our first 100 years. And so if you could go back and document the first 100 years of any profession, people would prefer that, right? You know, they would want that. And so all of us, you know, even if you're a young strength coach, you listen to this, you're just getting into the profession, you're still in the first 100 years, and people are going to be looking back on this time, you know, for till the end of time, you know. And and so documenting this, whether that's through podcasts or books or articles or just sharing your journey and letting other people kind of follow your journey, I think is an important part of this process.
Definitely. And you said, you know, draw inspiration from other professions, and you know, it could be from, I know I personally with my program, I look to other great CEOs across multiple industries just to see, because there's no way to, you know, dice it up. You know, we are a team. Like, my staff is a team. We work with teams, and, you know, whether it's Google is a team. Where do you draw your inspiration from when you're looking into other industries?
You know, honestly, I couldn't pick one. I look across the landscape. I mean, if I see a stock that's doing well, I'll do a little research on that company and try to see what makes them tick. If I see a great, you know, car wash business, you know, I'll reach out to the owner just to see like how they get it up and going. I have a deep seated appreciation for talent and at any level. And I'll tell you, to be honest with you, I think where I've shifted a lot of in my older years, I guess, is I didn't tap in the early part of my career to the wealth of knowledge that your athletes have. I mean, we have I have 100 football players every year that go off to do great things, you know, that are very talented people. You know, and if you just stayed and continued network with your former athletes and they go off to do things, very often they become the teacher, you know, and you can draw upon them for all kinds of inspiration.
Yeah, that's definitely great. It's, I mean, one of my main reasons for my, you know, my Instagram and our social media is, you know, it took off is because, you know, I just asked my athletes, you know, there are a lot of them were social media marketing majors and, you know, they're doing that stuff. I'm like, hey, like, I'm not a dinosaur by any means, but like I definitely don't know these ins and outs, and they help me out in the hashtags and who to follow and what to repost. And that's definitely a wealth of knowledge there for you. And, you know, I do have appreciation of looking at talent as well. I remember I have identical twins, and they spent some time in the NICU. And if you want to look at a high level team that operates on all cylinders, like those nurses and doctors, I was like, I had a great appreciation for them because they're taking care of my kids. But also I was like asking them all the questions, like, what's your procedure? Like what's the, you know, reporting lines like and everything, just to learn as much as I can. I think that's important to, you know, take into a strength and conditioning program. Now we have Iron Gang Chalk Talk 2.0, and this is what we're on. So, you know, could you talk to us a little bit about, you know, why Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0, like what, you know, that process was, and, you know, where we see the future of this podcast going?
Yeah. You know, it's come to a point where, you know, for 7 years I did Iron Game Chalk Talk, and, you know, over 300 guests, and, you know, I'm going through right now and trying to catalog all those on Instagram. And actually my daughter's doing it. She's going off to college, and that's what she wants to do, is become a social media marketing agency, you know? And so I'm putting her to work early, but even despite that, you know, with the questions and finding pictures and all that, it's a lot of episodes, you know? And so, I mean, you know, in a lot of ways I grew tremendously professionally by doing that podcast. And it's a big part of my story, but it's also a big part of other people's story, you know? And I know you and I connected right at the very beginning of Iron Game Chalk Talk. It was something that was meaningful to you. I mean, you were just starting your journey really into the profession, and it became a resource for you that you came to kind of expect and call upon. And so recently, with my motivations, I mean, my motivation is trying to help as many coaches as I can now be able to do this for as long as they can, you know, and it's gotten away from a little bit of the X's and O's of strength and conditioning. I think sometimes, you know, as coaches, we spend a little too much time focusing on that. I think it's part of people's journey, right? I mean, for that technician, that young coach, I think just people that are wanting to consume X's and O's.
Right.
It's a really good resource. I think it's needed, but there's also the skewed to the right of that is that manager and entrepreneurial side of things that really is kind of where my passion is right now. And, you don't make a ton of money doing podcasts, and you don't, you know, it's a lot of time and effort and all those sorts of things. And so you want it to be something that you're passionate about. And for, you know, probably 6.5 years, it was something I was really passionate about doing. Once it felt like work, that's when I knew that I needed to kind of go ahead and move on from it. You know, now the problem with that is, you know, ultimately I didn't want it to die. You know, it's something that, you know, people like yourself and others have really come to kind of really expect and want as part of their journey, you know, and so you and I connected I couldn't think of a better person to take the hosting role over. You're kind of the epitome of what I preach about in the book of kind of being that technician, manager, and entrepreneur, and, you know, went back to business school, and you've built a program out of something that people would have probably said, oh, MSU Denver, I don't know if I want to go there. But there's definitely people that look at that now and say, man, freaking what Isaiah's built there is incredible. And they said the same thing about South Florida, you know,
right.
I mean,
when
I was first at South Florida, they were like, you know, I mean, that's we don't even know what their logo is. We don't even know where they're at.
Right.
You know, and so, you and I connected and I felt like it was something that, you know, that you have the right amount of respect for the podcast and what it can do for people, combined with the entrepreneurial spirit of what it takes to kind of make this work, with finally the heart to try to make a difference, you know, and help as many coaches as you can. And that was always the motivation. Motivation was never money. or prestige or any of those types of things. Cause that's, I mean, those things are fleeting.
Yep.
But it really was to make an impact and do it worldwide, you know, and do it globally. And so that was the goal, still the goal. And because your values align perfectly with, you know, with what the original mission of the goal of this show was, it became a no brainer to do a 2.0 version with you and keep the brand alive and also allow me to kind of just be a part of it from time to time and step away, but feel good about it.
No, definitely. And you're exactly right. And for the few people that we will have listening to it, that was my main focus. Cause when, you know, we had talked about it and you had said, you know, it's starting to become work. I was like, you know, when I got to MSU Denver, I had been an assistant for 4 or 5 years before, but never been the head strength coach. And then also, MSU Denver never had a strength conditioning program. So I was literally the first person there. So I've only been operating off, you know, some really high level teams and having that weight room established. Like, this just what you do. You go get there, you get strong, have a good culture. But to go to somewhere where I didn't have a culture, and it just so happens like the podcasting was taking off, and I was like, all right, where's the strength conditioning podcast? And at the time there was really only one. It was Iron Game Chalk Talk. And then, you know, I had happened to jump on there in like episodes 1 and 2, and I was like, okay, like, you know. And then you get to know you, because this was prior to your book and everything else. So I, you know, got to know you and figure out how to go. And then, you know, you had the who's who of strength conditioning on there. So I made it my goal to reach out to you, like I said, and I found my DM to you on Twitter in 2015. I was like, coach, like I'm struggling here. And if you're really about that life, and, you know, if you really want to help out these young coaches, like, I need help. And, you know, you sure enough, you got back to me. And then, you know, I made it a point to reach out to all your the people you hosted for the interviews, and they got back to me. So I was like, okay, like, this is not just fake. It's not fluff. Like, you know, Coach McKeefer wants to help us out. Right. And almost all the coaches I talked to reached out and wanted to help me out. And there's some big level coaches, and, you know, MSU Denver at the time, like, nobody had known that they, what strength conditioning was there. So, and I definitely want to preserve that, because I still feel like there's a lot of coaches, young coaches, older coaches, that tune into the podcast and want to learn. And, you know, it was something for me to hear, you know, like, Coach Dr. Pat Ivey talking about how he had to go walk the halls of administration and, you know, get out of the weight room and, you know, say, like, you know, we're not just a whole bunch of, you know, big meatheads. Like, we're, you know, we're educated, we're smart, and we want to build the culture. And I was like, oh, you know, like, if Pat Ivey is having the same problem I had, and, you know, it helped, it made bigger coaches, or it made all coaches real. You know, they weren't just some person on a pedestal. Like, it was real, tangible, and they actually go through the same problems as us. So I definitely think that's one thing we want to focus on and continue to bring. What's one thing you can look back on? So you said USF, and I had the privilege of working on a virtual internship called the Merge, and I'm up there with a few other coaches from the University of Louisiana, Kennesaw State, and Lamar University. And one of our speakers is actually right after we had you guys speak on there was Kaz Kazadi. And he had mentioned he had, you know, been your assistant at USF. And I hadn't gotten that, you know, the correlation. Looking back on it now, how important is it to you have seen your assistants, your interns, and your GAs go on to, you know, make really names for themselves?
Yeah. I think it's, this career is all about, you know, I read a book from Rick Pitino the other, you know, recently, and I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not high on his individual character, but at the same time, a successful coach, and I'm always trying to pull inspiration from people. But one of the things in the book that he talked about was, you know, it's not about climbing the ladder, it's about building a bridge, you know, and making it as wide as you can to help people get from one place to another. Ultimately, I think that's what, you know, I've come to realize is I want to help as many people on this planet as I possibly can. And coaches are, the old adage is a coach touches more people in 1 year than most people do their entire life. I believe that and to try to help as many coaches as I can get their start. But also I think it was, when I was early in my career, I wrote about this in the book that, I was obsessed with becoming a success. I was obsessed with it. That's what I wanted to be, I wanted to be the strength coach that everybody was talking about, And so I looked around and I said, okay, what were the greats doing? Well, the greats were writing, they were speaking, and they were developing coaches. Boyd Epley was writing, speaking, and developing coaches, and I was like, well, shoot, I need to start doing that. And so I just started doing it whatever way I could. Early on, I'd call people up and say, hey, I'll speak for free, I'd reach out to different publications and, hey, I'll write an article for free, But then I also started an internship, and that was partly because I wanted to be successful, but it was also because I felt obligated because I had pretty good mentors to give me a chance. I mean, I had a hard time getting an opportunity in this field. I almost didn't even get it started. And because, I was coming from an NAIA school that didn't have a strength coach that, I had to stay on and coach football because that was the only kind of coaching I could get. And people thought that I wanted to be a football coach, not a strength coach. And so I felt obligated to kind of give people an opportunity and, very fortunate. I mean, I think the last time we counted, there was, 29 plus Division I head strength coaches that were former staff members and over 200 that have gone on in the field and, a couple of people that have won World Series rings and NBA championship rings and gone on to become strength coach of the year. And, two of those guys, I mean, it's incredible. And so what's been fortunate for me has been those people come through, they see the way that, I run my program, they go off and they do their own thing and then they're able to contribute back, if you give people their opportunities to start, oftentimes when they have people and they start to hire people, then they want to try to, they want to reach out and see if you got anybody that they can help, and so it's kind of been self-fulfilling from there to where, like I said, I mean, I've lost count at this point in terms of where things are, but it's really cool when I go to a conference and I can see our hand in people's careers and take great pride in knowing that they're making that type of impact.
You have quite the coaching tree underneath you. There seems to be every branch of every place I can see has some kind of connection to you. And I think that's a very powerful and goes back to what you say, you're trying to help out as many people as you can. And it's not just the athletes, it's the young coach. And I think that's powerful. And this will be our final question for today. If you could pick up your phone and call Ron McKeefrey from 10 years ago, that's right when you're leaving USF and going into Tennessee, what would you tell him?
Yeah, at that time I was a really, really bitter person because that's the first time that the job was potentially being able to be taken away from me, the head coach got fired. There was a chance that I could get fired because the head coach got fired. They ended up keeping me, but I didn't handle things the right way, with the new head coach and decided to kind of leave and go to special forces and then on to Tennessee. And I was really bitter about the profession at that time, just, because I'd worked so hard and poured my heart and soul into things. And, but that was also the awakening that I needed to really kind of start to position my life in a way that can handle periods of transition and can handle the volatility of it. And to create some of these multiple streams of income. And, that's when I started the podcast and I wrote the book and all these other things. And so it was definitely something, looking back on it, was a moment that God put in my life to really to wake me up a little bit on things, and I needed it. And so I think the thing that I would tell coaches is we're very fortunate to do what we do. I mean, most of us would be gym teachers if we weren't if we weren't strength coaches, right. right? You know, that's, you know, and, right. And we can all go back to doing that and be probably pretty happy, you know, I think the confidence, I needed the confidence to know that I would be okay if strength conditioning was taken away from me, you know, both from a financial standpoint, but also from a identity standpoint, you know, and that's why going special forces or, you know, working for play or doing these other things, like I've learned that literally if I did anything else, I could be the CEO, you know, I knew that I could build something from nothing. And coaches in general, some of the most talented people that have skill sets that people could only dream of having. And so if you're listening to this and you're worried about things, I mean, like this pandemic and all the things that are going on with this, like, you know, in my younger years, I would have been really, really worried, you know, with all this, you know, and it's easy to get caught up in it. But the reality is this, is that you will be okay. You know, you will find a way to make it happen. And you all have the skills and the inside of you to do greatness and whatever. And, you know, I made a video about this recently about, you know, you have a job, you have jobs, you have professions and you have vocations and you know, your jobs are things that you do, whatever. I mean, you might have had parked cars, you might've been a personal trainer, whatever. To be able to do your profession, which is right now strength conditioning coaches, right? But your vocation is making an impact on people, you know, and helping them become the best version of themselves. And you can do that doing anything, you know, and that's really what we're put on this earth to do, you know? And so, you know, I would go back and tell myself that I can make that type of impact in a lot of different ways. And I can make money in a lot of different ways. And that the team, the ultimate team is your home team, you know, and as long as you keep those things in perspective, you'll be a better strength coach.
I think that kind of advice cannot come at a more crucial point because I'm going into my 8th year at MSU Denver and my 12th year coaching, and I've built my entire career to combat if a coach gets fired or if, you know, you're applying to a new job, you know, we got all the certifications and experience, but you know, once this pandemic happened, you know, I think a lot of coaches, almost every coach I talked to were looking at it like what could happen next, you know, cause this might be the one thing that, you know, it took a lot of secure jobs and just flipped it on its head and flipped not just strength conditioning, but everybody's market. Job market, and you have to really take a look in the mirror and evolve. I think that kind of advice is crucial, not only right now and or 10 years ago, but like right now and what we're all going through. So, you know, that's greatly appreciated. And, you know, for the listeners, you know, where can they find you or where's the best way that they can, you know, get the best, you know, of Coach Ron McKeefrey?
Yeah. I mean, my website, ronmckeefrey.com, is probably the central hub of everything that I do. So that would be the place to start. At rmckeefrey is my handles on everything. And try to be active there, but I'm not somebody that focuses on social media every single day. I think for me, where I'm headed with things is, you know, I'm starting a new project. I'm finishing a third book. I'm real excited about where that's going. And, I'm not sure where this is going to be released and all that. So, you know, we'll hold it for now, but I think, you know, eventually, I think it'll be pretty obvious that, you know, at that point, and I think it's going to be centered around a lot of the things that we're talking about right now. I think it's going to be a cool resource, you know? And so I'm super excited about staying partnered with Isaiah on Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0 and being a part of that from time to time, but couldn't be more excited about the direction it's going to go and the fresh take that Isaiah is going to take. And I know you guys as the audience are in great hands. I'm excited for you because I know how much passion and energy Isaiah is going to put into this. And you know, hopefully 7 years from now, we're passing it on to somebody else and you know, we're going to keep it going.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that, Coach. And yeah, that's a hope. Like I said, I want to maintain the legacy of the first one, and continue to bring quality information that we don't normally get in our internships, or we don't get being by ourselves out there, in the trenches working it up. So, a good opportunity to learn from a lot of other coaches and learn like this. Like you said, when we're younger, we focus on the X's and O's so much. And then you realize what if I want to start family, or, how do I manage, or how do I hire people? And like this stuff you don't learn. And a lot of times we just learn by trial by fire. We make a lot of mistakes. Like I remember my first couple internship groups, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do interns. Like they're more of a headache than they are. Like I'm yelling and coaching my interns more than I am my athletes. But eventually you learn how to hire better and seek out the talent that you need and get things going. So we appreciate you. And we're looking forward to anything you got going on. And I didn't know about the other book, but everything we've learned from Weight Room Wisdom and CEO Strength Coach, we're definitely all excited, and we appreciate everything you do for us.
Absolutely, man. And just like I said earlier, I know how much work is going to go into these shows and producing these shows and editing them and all those things. And so I appreciate you for taking this over and putting that time commitment in. And I ask everybody to make sure that they're reaching out and thanking you and supporting you in this, because it touches so many people. It's rare that I meet somebody that's a strength coach now that hasn't listened to at least one episode, that kind of reach is incredible. And I think that just goes back to what we were saying to this episode, is that if you're listening to this and you're sitting in a car on the way into work and you're an intern strength coach or whatever, and you're like, how in the world can I possibly make this type of impact that Isaiah makes or I make or anybody else? It's whatever your muse is. Put your head down, work hard, put yourself, be vulnerable, put yourself out there, take risk, take calculated risk. And more than likely than not, we're going to be listening to your podcast or your book or whatever that is for you somewhere down the line. So appreciate you guys. Thanks so much. I'm honored to have been the host of Iron Game Chalk Talk 1.0, and more excited to see what happens in the future here with Isaiah 2.0.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach.
This episode is brought to you by Team Builder. Team Builder is the premier strength and conditioning app for teams and private facilities. Used by more than 2,500 organizations worldwide, performance coaches can write training programs online for athletes to access on their mobile app or where they work out in the weight room view on a tablet. Right now, when you start a 14-day free trial, use promo code CHALK, that is promo code CHALK, to access more than 70 strength conditioning programs directly in your Team Builder account, including 4 sports science questionnaire templates. I'm telling you, great people, great software. Check them out. Thanks everyone for listening. Thank you to our great guests for taking the time to share their experiences. Thank you to Play and Team Builder for being great companies that help our profession. And most importantly, thank you, the listeners. Please find us on social media at Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0. Find our show notes on wherever you listen to your podcasts. Leave us a rating, comment, and subscribe. And don't forget to say hi. It's great to hear from coaches from around the country. Talk to you all next week on another episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk 2.0.